I hear you now, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
What if you change Evaristo, if you go up to the top of the box and it gives you a menu, and under resolution, you can change it so that it goes to low resolution, and that uses less bandwidth, and your video will be more frequent.
Okay.
We're still not seeing you, but it's, you know, I'm sure it'll be better because it's all related to bandwidth.
Yeah, okay. I put it in lowest resolution, so.
Okay. That's fine. Let's give it another minute or two. There's nobody on the telephone conference, and usually there are.
Peter, where are you from? Me?
Yes.
I was born in Mexico. Okay, California. I'm in San Jose, California. Oh, San Jose. That is correct. What about you? Where are you from? Oh, we are so close. Maybe we should make one of these things. Yeah, I was up there about 10 years ago. Where?
Okay, let's, I imagine he'll call back, or please.
We call. Yes, we have this team. Here we go.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoach. Anabakoach, Gedulas Mincha, Atir, Tzera, Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tzad Tzadik. Kabel Rinat. Amcha sagbeinu taharenu nora kufrei shayin sintet nun na gibor dorshe yehudcha gevavat shamren Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Barhem Tacharem Rachame Sidkatcha Tamid Gamlen Betet Resh Saritaf Gimel. Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adata Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan Yachid Gea Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadiyut. The letter Zion and Bet for the month of Tevet. And the eighth verse we said in a whisper. I'm now going to read from the I'm sorry? We'll be starting shortly. If you want to ask questions, let me check on the conference call where we are. Okay, if you want to ask questions, just go ahead. You don't have to press star 6.
You try to call him to pick him up?
No, I'm not seeing him calling in. Sometimes, you know, that happens. Let's disconnect and see if I can pick him up that way. No, I'll call you right back. Joe, do you show? I'm sorry.
I tried calling Ito, and he
won't
answer.
Well, I showed you busy for because you were trying to call me. Do you show Ito online?
Yeah, he's online.
It's not picking up. He may be busy with his children. So let's start. He'll call in when he gets ready. Tonight's class. Say again, Joe. Okay, well, he'll call when he's ready. Tonight's class is located at www.yeshem.com/sy22.htm. And I'm going to be reading from the Zohar, verse number 88 from section 4 from the Parsha of Bo. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu koneh aleinu maaseh yadeinu konehu. Uktiv bePesach Hashem al haPetach v'yadua mai haPetach mishum dihu peticha umshika derucha v'gufa v'tachatzei Adla itkazar Avraham hava atim v'ta satim mikol sitro mir itkazar itpetach mikola v'lahave atim v'satim And it is written, Hashem will pass over the door, namely the known door. The door of the body is mentioned above. What is the door? Why is it called door? It is the opening to draw the spirit and the body. It is the opening to draw the spirit and the body, because they were born from there. Come and behold, until Abraham was circumcised, he was shut off and closed from all sides, and was not able to beget in holiness. As soon as he was circumcised, everything in him opened up, and he was no longer blocked and closed as before. The verse is talking in metaphors about the circumcision of Abraham, and how that opened him up and made him available to draw the soul of Isaac. Without the circumcision, Isaac could never have been drawn. It would have been another soul. Does anybody have any questions before we start? As I said, so we'll just keep repeating it. I forgot to start the recording, so now I'm recording. The class is located, the handout is located at Safe. yashem.com/sy22.htm. And tonight's class is really nothing new, but we're going to go over a lot of different things that we've discussed, but now we're going to see them in a different light. Feel free to ask questions as I go, because there is nothing new per se, so there'll be interruptions are not going to be considered interruptions. Last week we completed the Mishnah 3.5. Tonight we are completing the rest of chapter 6. That's Mishnah 3.6, 3.7, 3.8, and 3.9. Mishnah 3.6 presents the idea of male and female. Mishnahs 3.7, 8, and 9 relates to what was taught in chapter 1, but chapter 1 applied it to the Sefirot only. And in here in chapter 3, it's being applied to the letters of the mother letters. So we're going to kind of get a sense of the difference and how the different metaphors interrelate. So I'm going to read Mishnah 3.6. I'm going to read all of the Mishnahs first. Shalosh Shemot Aleph Mem Shin Hakarkan Chatziven Zarfen Yatzer Bahen Shalosh Shemot Bashana V'shalosh be'olam, v'shalosh be'nefesh, zachor v'nukva. Translating 3.6. Three mothers, Aleph, Mem, and Shin, engraving, carving, purified, formed from them. Three mothers in the year, and three in the world, and three in the soul. Male and female. verse Mishnah 3.7. Hamelech Aleph Baruach, the Kesher Lo Keter, Bebet Tzarfen Zeh Bezeh, the Tzar Mahen Avir Ba'olam, Ravia, the Shana Gavia, the Nafish Zachor the Nukva, Zachor the Emesh, the Nukva the Eshem. He made the letter Aleph king over breath, and he bound a crown to it, and he combined them one with another, and with them he formed air in the universe. The temperate in the ear, and the chest in the soul. The male with Aleph Mem Shin, and the female with Aleph Shin Mem. This verse is talking about the three mother letters, Aleph, Mem, and Shin. Starting with the Aleph becomes king over the others. The male becomes Mem and Shin after the Aleph. The female becomes Shin and Mem in the different order after the Aleph. And this is going to be true for the next two verses as well, as we shall see. HaMelech hot mem b'mayim v'kesher lo keter v'tzarfin v'bezeh v'tzar b'hen eretz ba'olam kavir b'shana v'batim b'nefesh zachor v'nukva zachor b'esh the Nukva B'Mashiach. He made the Mem king over water, and he bound a crown to it, and he combined one with another, and with them he formed earth in the universe, cold in the ear, and the belly in the soul, the male with Mem Aleph Shin, and the female with Mem Shin Aleph. The king, the first letter is Mem. Then the male kaf follows the pattern of Mem, Aleph, Shin. The female has a different pattern, Mem, Shin, Aleph, where Aleph and Shin are changed in their order. Reading Mishnah 3.9. HaMelech Shin Ba'esh, V'Kesher Lo Keter, V'tzarfon zeh bezeh, v'tzar b'hen, shemayim ba'olam, chom ba'shana, rosh ba'nefesh, zachor v'nukva, zachor ba'shamayi, nukva ba'shiyamei. He made the shin king over fire, and he bound a crown to it, and he combined one with another. With them he formed heaven in the universe, hot in the ear, and the head in the soul, the male with Shin Aleph Mem, and the female with Shin Mem Aleph. The king of the letters is the Shin in this order, but the male and female change their direction. The male is Aleph Mem, the female is Mem Aleph. Tonight, we're going to talk about what is male and female. We're going to understand it on a different level. We're going to know how to develop our relationships. Mishnah 3.6 starts the discussion about male and female. Mishnayot 7, 8, and 9 is also expanding on that discussion. Very much tonight is a discussion of what is male and what is female, and understanding it and how they work together. We start with one letter at the front, as called the king. Doesn't matter if it's Aleph or it's Mem or it's Shin. they are dealing with different areas of our personality, different areas of our character traits, different areas of perception. But then we permutate the other two letters. So if we start with the Aleph, male becomes Shin and Mem, and female becomes Mem and Shin. As the order of the letters change, the consciousness changes. This is an important aspect that we need to realize. When we do the meditation from last week, and I printed it here again, we have to recognize what it is we're supposed to learn. And you'll remember from last week, our meditation seems like the Indian chanting from the guy doing the dance in the westerns of the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. Ayo, ah, hey, hey, ah. Ah, hey, yo, ah, hey, ah, wah, ah, hey, ah. Hey, may, wah, may, hey, may, yo, may. Hey, may, wah, may, hey, may, may, yo. She, yo, she, hey, she, wah, she, hey. Yo, she, hey, she, wah, she, hey, she. Yeah, 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 yeah. Did you hear the Indian dancing in the background? Do you hear the whole idea? This meditation is done quickly, this Emesh meditation. Or it can be done in the same way as the others, long and drawn out. I think you get the idea. This tonight's meditation that I'm teaching you is similar to what we did last week, but the permutations of the letters need to take place. And I'm not going to show you what those permutations are. I've described them to you. They're described in the Mishnayot themselves. So as you do them, take a look at what the Mishnah is teaching you. It's there in English. It's there in the transliteration. You have no problem getting this information. Next week, we will start on Chapter 4, which starts teaching us about the double letters. Right now, we've just been introduced to the concept of the mother letters, the Aleph, the Mem, and the Shin. In the Tree of Life, there are 10 circles, 10 sephirot. There are 22 lines that connect those 10 circles. There are many different discussions as to which letters of the Hebrew alphabet, which has 22 letters, which of them connects with which line. There are many different patterns. When you look at the different glyphs, if you ever see one that says where the bet goes, where the gimel goes, where the dalet goes, they all have different patterns. I want you to know all of those patterns are correct. All of them are correct. They're all correct. They're all right. But so which one's the right one? They're all right. Because there are 22 lines, and every letter includes within itself all of the other letters, just as the 10 Sephirot include all of the Sephirot within them. We need to understand the unity involved in this discussion. I'm not going to go into it at length. We don't have the time. But it's something for you to experience, to understand that the 10 Sephirot have 10 Sephirot in each one of them, and each one of them have 10, and each one of them have 10, and each one of them have 10 more. And this whole pattern keeps repeating itself. And as it repeats itself, the tree of life repeats itself. And the lines of the patterns of the repeat themselves. As above, so below. This is not just an intellectual sentence. This is something that must be dealt with intuitively. Through your meditations, you must learn this to be true. Here is the fundamental lesson about balance, about including everything and everything else. That comes from starting to talk about the letters in chapter 3. The fundamental lesson, the mind of man integrates in space and time. What is this saying? The mind of man. What is the mind of man? It's what I think. Am I man or just a man? We need to understand that. We need to experience that. When am I alone and when am I not? When am I connected to the totality of things? And when am I separate? There is a Hebrew word, hakara, that means consciousness. Consciousness is the fundamental element of mind and heart. Our job is to integrate the two, to unify the two, so that we can speak of the term of the mind of our hearts and make sense. We know what we're talking about when we speak about the mind of our hearts. Are we talking about intellect? Or emotion. We need to understand this. These two things. Go ahead. Joe?
Many times the heart and the mind are in conflict.
Are they?
In many cases.
Or is that an illusion? Let me read the rest of this paragraph to you. Then let's talk about it. Our job is to integrate the two so that we can speak of the mind of our hearts. These two things do seem to be opposites when they actually are not opposites, but different views of reality. Remember our metaphor of the fish in the tank with the different colored glass. What does that mean to us? What is the truth? What color is the fish? The person looking through the red glass sees it as red. The heart sees it through the world through its emotions. The mind sees it through the intellect. Are they opposites, or are they illusionary opposites? are we able to integrate the two and come up with a composite view of reality that includes intellect as well as emotions? This is what Kabbalah teaches us to do. How do we do that? Only through meditation. It is the only way we can do that. But eventually, it will become second nature to always unify the mind and the heart. In any one sequence of the three letters, in any sequence, I don't care if there's four letters, five letters, 20 letters, one letter has to dominate the others. One letter must be the king. The king establishes the perception of reality. Then the permutation of the other two letters affects that perception of reality. But it doesn't truly change it away. If the Aleph is first, we are talking about air. We are talking about balance. We are talking about that list of metaphors that I gave you 2 weeks ago. We're talking about Mem. We're talking about that list of metaphors, and they're different. The king of the letters, the king of the sequence, establishes the framework. Am I talking about Keter? Am I talking about Malchut? Am I talking about Tiferet or Yesod? Chesed or Gevurah? Where am I at? What is my perception? What is the frame of reference that I have created? Welcome back, Evaristo. In any sequence, one letter needs to dominate the other two, as I said. And this is especially true when you're dealing with a three-letter sequence, a four or a five or a six-letter sequence. They have other letters, but when you're only dealing with three letters, every one is important and everyone integrates and everyone impacts our perception. But there always must be one that dominates, that establishes the frame of reference. Without this domination, without this frame of reference, we have no vessel to create our heart's desires. We have no vessel for creation. The frame of reference becomes the vessel. In every vessel, we have a beginning, a middle, and an end. In Hebrew, they're called Rosh, Toch, and Soth. The first letter in those three words is Samech, Tet, Rosh. That spells the word Seter. Not Keter, Seter. That order that spells Seter, Seter means concealment. If we're starting at the end, flowing up through the middle and hitting the head, we're starting at the Seter. We're starting at concealment. We can grow to revealment, but we must start with concealment. The vowels give us the word pach, pechet, from the initials of the names of the vowels. The pechet is a can, or a garbage can, usually. So my teacher said, students always ask me, what's the secret to connection? What's the secret to the meditations? What's the secret to connecting with God? And his answer is very simple. His answer is seter pach. Connection is the concealment of the garbage can. What kind of a metaphor is that? What kind of logic is that? Actually, it's a bad joke because my teacher has horrible humor. Connection is concealment of the vessel. As you let go of your ego, as you let go of what connects you to the light, as you let go of what blocks you from the light, that's letting go of your ego. Connection is concealment of the vessel. The Amish Aleph Mem Shin sequence represents many things. There are six different orders to those three letters. We've gone over those in the past. To understand Aleph, Mem, and Shin, we need to understand what is being said below. Below what's written on this page, not below in the physical world. Every Sephirot has within it 10 Sephirot. Everything has within it a beginning, a middle, and an end. Within everything there is an opposite. Every man has an inner female. Every female has an inner male. There's one above, there's one below. And there's always something in the middle that keeps everything connected. And what's the secret of connection? Concealing the vessel. If you think you understand, you disconnect and you don't understand. We always must find the middle to connect. We always must take that route to remain in balance, to remain connected. This is a very philosophical statement, yet it is much, much more than philosophy. It's a way of life. When you are constantly balancing yourself, this is what strengthens your connections. This is what brings you close to the Creator. The seventh month of the year is Tishrei. Its astrological sign is that of balance, of Libra. Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment, the first day of Libra, the first day of Tishrei. Rosh Hashanah is judgment, but it's balancing the scales. What is the center of the scales? Aleph is the air, it's Tiferet, it's balance, it's heart and emotions. Shin is fire, left column, intellect. Mem is intuition, water. Mem creates the earth, as we discussed when you look at last year. It grows less. Mem them creates the earth. It creates the physical world, the world of action, the world of Asiya. Who wrote the Zohar? Rabbi Shimon. Who wrote the Sefer Yetzirah? Abraham Avinu. Who edited the Sefer Yetzirah? Rabbi Akiva. Who was the teacher of Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Akiva. Is there a connection between the Sefer Yetzirah and the Zohar? Of course there is. What is the beginning? The beginning is Abraham. What is the middle? Rabbi Akiva. What is the end? Rabbi Shimon. When was the beginning of the age of Aquarius? This is the beginning of the end. The Ari, who gave us a new system from the Zohar, of the Zohar, where does he fit into this head, middle, and end? The Abba, Chachma, makes the daughter. Chachma creates the daughter. The world of Atzilut must be revealed in the physical world. The first thought emanates the last deed. The highest becomes the lowest. The mem is male and below is female. The mem is the male, and below is female. The shin is female and then becomes the male. Our world is the mirror of the above. There is no such thing as duality. There's a famous verse from a story of the garden. Four who entered the garden. One died, one became crazy, and one stayed, and one came in peace. Chachma creates the daughter. Atzilut, the world of Atzilut, must be revealed in the physical. The first thought emanates the last deed. The highest becomes the lowest. The mem is male, and below is female. The shin is female, and then it becomes male. Our world is the mirror of the above. There is no duality. It is not water, water from that famous story. Why is the tzitzit blue? The blue represents the reflection of the sky. But the sky is blue because it's reflecting the sea. Reflection, mirror, is not duality. It's the oneness. There is only unity, never duality. There is always concealment prior to revealment. This is the reason why we wear clothing. We first must conceal in order to later reveal. We wear clothing on our body not to keep worn, but to conceal our bodies. Why do we want to wear clothing over our bodies? It's uncomfortable because we need to reveal our bodies, and we first must conceal them in order to reveal them. Intellectual, intuitive, or emotional, is there a difference or are they unified? Mem begins perception. Male perceives different than female. Why? Because the Aleph and the Shin are reversed. Male and female think differently. They start with the shin, both of them, when they're talking about intellect, but they reverse the Aleph and the Mem. The emotions of men and women are different. The Aleph starts them, but Mem and Shin change. Mem and Shin permutate. Men and women emote differently. Our sages teach us in the Talmud that the time to speak to your wife is after 4 in the morning, from 4 to 6 in the morning. It's referring to speaking to the wife. Or is it speaking to the inner female of the inner male of the female? Are you speaking to your wife, or is your wife a reflection of your inner female? That's the question I'm asking. There will be no answer tonight. The answer will be found through your meditations. Men marry physical women. They reflect back to themselves his inner woman. There's a Hebrew word called hitbodedut. It means isolation, and it's the kind of meditation where you cry out to God, but in a safe, protected, separated spot where no one can hear you. But you're crying out to God in isolation. Hitbodedut is the time of meditation that is connected to the male intuition. Is that female intuition? No, they're different. But male intuition . The other kind of mode of meditation is called hitbonedut. One is called hitbonedut, one is called hitbodedut. One is intuitive, one is contemplative, logical. When we think about something, we're being logical. The path of these meditations, you contemplate until you go deeper, until you see, truly see, visions and pictures. This is called running and returning. We discussed it in chapter 1. We are discussing it anew. The secret of the Amesh, the Aleph Mem Shin. Both must be present within each other, male and female and male. Otherwise, there's no affinity. There's no way to communicate.
Hello?
Yes, Joe.
When a child is conceived, he is completely and then changed his face and turned to male. The embryo.
Say this again. When the child is being produced.
Yeah.
Okay. When it's first conceived, the male and female come together.
Female.
Please say again. I didn't hear.
Right.
I didn't hear. Please say.
First, the embryo is a female.
Yes.
And then if it could be a male, it turns male.
Yes, that is what the science teaches.
Okay.
But we're teaching now, that even in the female, there's an inner male. It's not that the child turned male. What the reason why that happens is that both the male half of the soul and the female half of the soul are vessels. And the vessel in an overall frame, in a larger frame of reference, the soul is female. Relative to the light, which is sharing. And that is reflected in the growth of the embryo. But in every man, there is a female, an inner female, concealed female. In every woman, there is a concealed male. If this was not true, there would be no way for men and women to communicate. They will use the same words, but they have totally different meanings. We need to understand this with regards to male and female. Every man has an inner female. Every woman has an inner male. If you're going to create a golem, is it going to be male or is it going to be female? Which is the concealed part and which is the male part? There are no true duplicates, only reflections, which is another way of speaking of relativity, which is the class we had in the basic classes, talking about frames of reference and how things relate to each other, always relative to each other. Go listen to the recordings on that class of relativity. It says in the Mishnayot above, it says, he rules in Malchus, which is the word for kingdom. He rules represents a king. He represents domination. Where is he ruling? In the physical world. The Keter is taking the word Ani, Aleph Nun Yud, and transforming it into Ein, Aleph Yud Nun. Ein means nothing. How do I take something like the I, something important like the I, and create nothingness?
I can represent. Let me do my take on that. Ani could represent the ego. I means ego.
Correct.
And what the objective is to abolish the ego, turn to eight.
Is it to abolish it or is it to reduce it to nothingness? There's two different concepts there, Joe. The language of Kabbalah is very exact. The idea is to take the ego and transform it into nothingness. In order to reach, in your meditation, you contemplate, you think hard on a subject until you start seeing a picture. You start having a vision. And then that vision could be a few seconds long. And then you come out of that vision and you start thinking very hard again about what the vision showed you. This is the idea of the two different meditations, Hutbodidut and Hutmodidut. And understanding, we reach We started Bina. We started contemplation. But we go deep into contemplation and we hit Keter. We hit the view, the pictures. How do you reach Keter? By changing the Ani, the I of Bina, into the nothingness of Keter. When you are no longer you, then you can reveal all of the light. And when you return to yourself, you will have been able to change lead into gold. When you return to yourself, you can change everything about the physical world. Intellect is powered by emotion. Where is the middle point in emotions and in the powering of intellect? What is the middle point? Today it was hot. It was 90 degrees outside today, somewhere. When you're sitting in that hot sun, you're not comfortable. How do you reach the middle point? See the glacier with the wind blowing that cold wind off it, and all of a sudden that heat and that discomfort disappears. You're cold. The wind is blowing. It's like Chicago with coming off the lake. See the sunlight reflecting off the sand. Or you can choose to wear more clothes, or to be cool by taking off your clothes. One uses technology. One uses mind control. Which do you prefer? Which path will you follow? That of technology or that of mind consciousness? Mem is opposite to Shin, yet you always need the Aleph to emotionally arouse. How do we arouse our passions? In our world, we don't get passionate. We don't fight in the arenas and affect life and death and have true, strong passions. How do we arouse that? Play music. Have a drink of alcohol, of wine. Some people take drugs. We don't recommend that. Arouse your passions. The creation of the world took place in the month of Nisan. The creation of the world took place in Tishrei. How do I reconcile it? Well, the physical world was created in Nisan. That's why it's the first month of the year. But man was created in Tishrei. That's why. How do you reconcile? How do you balance things? Grow to a higher level of consciousness so that you can integrate right and left. Why is man created in Tishrei? Because it's the month of balance. Love Hashem with all your heart, with all your inner feelings, with the true passion of man, you can integrate to the neshama, which is the mind. With the nefesh and the ruach, and let it be balanced with the neshama. Aleph rules the emotional focus, air. Mem rules the physical focus, water. Shin rules the mind focus. fire. Where's the fourth element? Where's the earth? I'm sorry?
That's part of the map.
Correct. You're absolutely correct. That's what we taught in earlier classes, that when ice forms over and when the ice melts, the earth is there. When the ocean dries up, God forbid, the earth is there. The earth is within the water. Chinese medicine, acupressure, acupuncture, all of these modern Eastern medicines is exactly the same, identical to the medicine taught by the Ramban in the 1300s, identical to the medicine taught by the sages in the Talmud. There is no duality. There's only reflection. Mem Aleph Shin is male. Mem Shin Aleph is female. This is not logical, but it is true in works. The cycle is defined by which letter is dominant. Psychological movements and cycles are created because there is a time for everything under the sun, according to King Solomon in Kohelet. Male and female. Should we teach women the Sefer Yetzirah? Are they capable of this kinds of meditations? Most of the rabbis in today's world will not teach the Sefer Yetzirah to a woman. My teacher does, but not one-on-one. He will only do it in a group because women think so differently from men. But if a woman has been practicing the meditations, she will eventually have questions, and the teacher must be available to answer them. Go ahead, Joe.
San Diego State University to get the book effect on her life, on the library there, Rita. Kind of Wikipedia is good write about it. Should I recommend we should read about it? Let me know what you think.
Okay. Leanne or I will take a look at it. Contemplate the... go ahead, Joe.
I got interested in that because of it's the town my mother grew up in.
I understand.
That's what
I understand. Contemplate the essence of each letter. Each letter is unique, and each letter includes all of the other letters. Aleph is air, Mem is water, Shin is fire. Source the power within the letter is the action. Manipulate the physical by manipulating the psychic. How connected can you become? When we live in cities, it's not the best location to accomplish what's being taught by the Sefer Yetzirah. Live on a limited physical level. Nobody's going to do that, but yet, by withdrawing from the physical level, we soar into the intellectual. We soar into the spiritual. We expand our consciousness. In the past, our sages lived on limited diets. They only ate meat on Shabbat. They didn't eat. Sometimes they fasted from morning to sundown every day except Shabbat. In the East, you have the statues of Buddha, and you see them with these big pot bellies. But there are other statues of Buddha, the older ones, that don't show a fat belly. They're thin. There's a little paunch, but it's very thin, very small, very limited.
Why is that?
Because in the earlier days, well, the physical reason is because they didn't have the food. They were going hungry. But on the spiritual level, we must understand how everything interacts and affects everything else. So if I have a big meal of meat, I'm going to hold myself from soaring in my meditation. If I have a big meal, but it's not meat, I'm still going to hold myself back from the meditation. Meditate on an empty stomach, and you will go much higher. Understand how everything relates to everything else. We have the Tetragrammaton, Yud-Heh-Vav-Keh. The Aleph is the Vav. The Mem is the Yud, the Shin is the He. Permutate them. Understand how they change. Which is the Vav, which is the Mem, which is the He, which is the Shin. Understand it. Integrate this into your consciousness. What's the difference between Yud-Keh-Vav and Emesh? Emesh is the letters. Yud-Keh-Vav is the Sefirot, teaching us the same thing. We go from the lower intellect to the lower intuition to the higher intellect to the higher intuition. See the world and then shape the world using your emotions. Male and female, descending light. Direct light is male. Returning light is female. Inner light is male. Surrounding light is female. Different metaphors, but they produce the same results. I've gone through a lot of different metaphors, a lot of different aspects. It's all intellectual until you take it into your meditations. Contemplate each one of these. See what they develop, what you can learn. Are there any questions?
Hello, Hanok. Can you hear me?
Yes, I do.
This is Evelyn. I remember you talked about when you see a rainbow and the representation. You kind of spoke about it briefly in the past. Can you go over that again?
Well, the rainbow, the first time we meet the rainbow in the Torah, it's indicating that God promises never to destroy the world again. So every time you see a rainbow, it means that the world should be destroyed. But God has promised not to do it. So everybody who sees the rainbow needs to recognize that they should be destroyed. They need to do tshuva. They need to cleanse themselves from whatever it is they have done. They need to ask themselves, why do they have this merit? Why are they seeing the rainbow? You didn't see a rainbow today. Well, maybe you did. I don't know. That's maybe the reason for the question. But I didn't see a rainbow today. My world doesn't need to be destroyed today. There are days I have seen rainbows, and I know that that means that my world at that moment needs to be destroyed, and I have to do tshuva. I have to start looking at what I have caused.
So it represents cleansing?
It represents a wake-up call so that you will cleanse yourself and not have to go through pain, suffering, and destruction.
Okay.
Any other questions? Have a beautiful week. Two quick announcements. Tomorrow night is Rosh Chodesh. Tuesday night at 9:00 West Coast time, we will be on the radio, on the telephone conference, and on the Ubu, we'll be doing a Rosh Chodesh connection. I recommend it. It is a ritual, an opportunity to take control and remove the negative aspects of the next month, which is the month of Shvat. The month of Shvat shares the Saturn. It shares the Bet as the letter that helped create the month. You've been experiencing whatever you've been experiencing in Tevet. Most people find that a difficult month. Shvat changes it. It doesn't have to be as difficult. It doesn't have to be difficult at all. Saturn is a planet that always shows one face towards the sun and one face towards the universe. The Capricorn is the part that's always facing the sun. The limited aspect of always seeing the sunlight. The Aquarian is brilliant because he's always looking at the infinity of the universe. Come join me tomorrow night and learn more. Tuesday night, February 7th, starting at 5:30 West Coast time, we will be doing a Tu B'Shvat Seder. Tu B'Shvat is the new year of the trees. It's the celebration of binding by striking, of restriction. Why does a tree grow? Why is a tree the tallest living thing on the earth? because it has inbuilt into it restriction, binding by striking. Built into the tree is photosynthesis. It transforms carbon dioxide into oxygen. Built into it is photosynthesis that creates sugar and fruits and other good things. Come learn how this works, binding by striking. How? Come and take control and deal with the fact that that Tuesday night is the 15th day of the month of Shvat, the new year of the trees, the opportunity to connect on a different level, on a stronger level, with restriction, with binding by striking. Come join me. Any other questions? Have a beautiful week.
Okay, good night.
Good night. Good night, Evelyn. Tell your dad I'm sorry there was a problem with his connection.